and sing together just as others are coming in. 304, we're never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. Be worth it all. Sometimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear.
Thank you.
just before we sing the opening hymn, once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, I'm a child of the King. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. This is our opening hymn, and we'll stand this time to sing.
Thank you.
pray together, seek the Lord. Our Father, we know that there is an eternal song that will be sung forever. It's a song about the great love that Christ had for us, giving up himself as the sacrifice for sin, shedding his blood on that center cross, that our sins, which were many, might be forgiven, cleansed away, never to be remembered against us anymore. We see in our mind as we read your word that great company of the Lord's people gathered around the throne of God in heaven, singing the praises of the Lamb, unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin. Unto him be the glory forever. Amen. And Lord, our voices here on earth blend with theirs, for we sing the same anthem of praise, the same joy that fills our hearts in the knowledge of the one who loved us, gave himself for us, died for us, poured out his life's blood that we might be saved. And tonight, Lord, we come to this your house in praise and thanksgiving, rejoicing afresh in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, thanking thee again from the very depths of our being that you ever set your love upon us, and in the process of time you sent your Son to die at Calvary. And Lord, we pray that these things will be very real to us, even in this service tonight, that we will think upon him, our blessed Redeemer, that our hearts will be drawn out after him, that we will have a reason to sing, to praise, to glory in our God tonight as we think of redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray that thou wilt remember those in need, ever before us, always upon our hearts, in our minds. We commit them into your care, each one that's on the prayer list. Thank thee that our brother James got out of hospital, and we pray that you'll strengthen him just where he is at home and be with him. We pray for our sister Gina Blair as well, as she has gone into hospital for surgery this week, that thou will bless her and bring her through it to the glory of God successfully. Continue to keep your hand upon Lydia. Our hearts are filled with praise and adoration this week, weekend, for all the Lord has done and the good news that we have received. And so, Lord, as we come to this meeting, we need your presence. We need your help. We pray for the Spirit of God to come and abide with us. The Comforter has come. We can proclaim that tonight. We know it in our hearts. We sense and feel his presence in our lives. And as we come to church and as we have our services, Lord, we pray for the manifestation of the power of God. We pray for the gracious outpouring of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, as we come to read your word and to preach your word tonight, that I might have that fresh anointing of the Spirit. Spirit of the living God, come into my heart, come into my life, flowing through me. Thou canst use me. May it be so tonight. And what I pray for this preacher and this house of God this evening, I'm remembering so many in this land of ours and all of our churches and the pulpits that are throughout the United Kingdom, where there are men of God who love thee and love the souls of men, who will stand up to preach the gospel tonight. Lord, make their way prosperous in the gospel. We pray that sinners will gather in and that sinners will be converted unto Christ. You're able to do it, Lord. Do it here tonight, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 332. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Let's sing it unto the Lord with all of our hearts.
Thank you.
verse 3. That's this section and this section. You have every advantage with the word of truth, most of the members over here. Verse 3, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Sing it out. Verse 4, there's light in the valley of death now for me. We'll ask you folks just to remain silent for this verse. You have every advantage. I don't know what it is. I haven't worked it out yet, but you have. Let's sing it with all our hearts. Welcome to God's house tonight, to you in the congregation and those that are listening in on the internet. Refreshments will be served. Ladies have provided these things for us. Thank you. Remember tomorrow morning, the Hebron Tots at 10 o'clock. We're very thankful for what the Lord is doing there and the many that come and they get to listen to God's word, which is a good thing. In the evening time, there's a management committee of our school at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday night, the ladies' meeting when our sister Arlene Gray will come to speak and Rebecca McCauley will sing. So again, we're encouraging you ladies to invite your friends, your family members to come. Thursday night, the midweek service, 8 o'clock. Friday night, the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. And then Friday night also for the elders traveling to Dungannon for presbytery. Saturday morning, the open air in the center of the town at 11 o'clock. In the morning, and then next Lord's Day begins with prayer at 8 a.m. We invite you to this. We encourage you to come. Sunday school, 10:30, Bible class at 11:15, worship service at 12 o'clock, and our family night at 7, we'll have Colin McKee here to give his testimony. We want you again to share this and tell others about it and bring them in to hear God's word. Supper will be served, and ladies, please help us with this with half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns. We're asking our youth, pardon me, to wait behind next Sunday evening after the service, our young adults. So if you're a young person in the church, you're 18 and over, we want to meet with you with the possibility of starting something that is for you particularly. Our Youth Sunday is 2 weeks from today, the 12th of May. At both services, the young people will take part. These are all the announcements to make. We sing together 252 as the offering is received. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See in the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Two passages of God's word that we want to read with you this evening as we come to the message, the speaking voice of God. 1 Kings 19 and then the Psalm 29. First Kings and the chapter 19. We're going to read the opening 13 verses. Pay attention to verse 12. And then when we come to the Psalm 29, we want you to pay attention to verse 3. First Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Turn over to the Psalm 29. Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's bow together before God in prayer. We thank you, gracious God, for these scriptures that we've read. And we pray your blessing upon what we've just now gone down, these verses. And we pray your blessing upon the preaching of the word. And again, we're asking for the Spirit of God to be featuring just now, powerfully, mightily, in all of our hearts. We pray that we'll come to God with honesty tonight and say, as one of old, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." We pray that men will sit up and listen. We pray that the devil will be defeated who would come and steal away the word of God so quickly. Lord, I pray for that special anointing. Fill me now with God the Holy Spirit, and may this meeting count for eternity. May God be glorified as a result of our coming together in the Savior's name. Amen. God did not forsake the old world when our first parents sinned against the Lord at the fall. He could have. God had abandoned this world. We would have had to say that was just, that was right, that was proper, because of the entrance of sin. But rather, his thoughts towards men were good, merciful, kind, and gracious. He planned redemption. The whole scriptures point to the cross from the beginning to the end. It's full of references to the day when the Savior would come and die upon Calvary's cross for our sin. God did not remain silent when man fell. He did not shut himself off from mankind. He did not abandon this world or forsake us or ignore us, but he came seeking and searching and speaking. We know Genesis chapter 3. Having fallen, Adam and Eve realized their shame and their sin, and they hid themselves from God amongst the trees of the garden. When God came in the cool of the evening, walking in the garden, he called out to Adam, "Where art thou?" God spoke, and God came and exposed their sin, pronounced judgment upon this world. And at the same time, he conveyed the means of redemption by issuing a wonderful messianic prophecy. It's the first of its kind that we have in all the Bible. You know it well, Genesis 3 and verse 15. That's the promise of the Savior, the one who would come in the fullness of time and crush the serpent's head and destroy the works of the devil on behalf of his people. Ever since then, God has been speaking to men through prophets, through angels, through apostles and pastors and preachers, and preeminently through his word. The entire volume of scripture is the voice of God in writing. He moved holy men of old to write down his words. The Bible is God's speaking voice. If I want to know what God is saying, if I want to know the message of God to a dying world, I must come to the scriptures of truth. I have selected two texts which underscore the manner in which the voice of God is heard. The first is the scene from the life of Elijah the prophet. Elijah the prophet of fire has just been contending with the prophets of Baal. On the summit of Carmel, the true God was manifested and revealed by the falling of the fire. For God Jehovah, he answered by fire. Elijah witnessed the power of prayer, not only in the falling of the fire, but also in the great deluge of rain that followed. For after 3.5 years of barrenness, dearth, and drought, the prophet prayed earnestly, and God opened the heavens, and the great rain came. But now Elijah is fearful for his life. Jezebel swears by her gods that she would kill the prophet. What does he do? He runs. Where was that courage so recently witnessed as he stood against Ahab? Where was that courage when he contended with the Baalite prophets on the summit of Carmel? Where was that courage when he defended the honor of his God? And now, at the threat of a proud woman, he flees into the wilderness. It is here, 40 days later, that God speaks. He's sitting in a cave when God comes. We read it in verse 9 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. He came thither unto a cave. He lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? God calls him out of his hiding place to stand upon Mount Horeb, and there God makes himself known, and there the voice of the Lord is heard. How did it come? Well, as we read this evening, in a still, small voice. The second text is a lovely psalm that discusses the voice of the Lord. It's very probable that David penned Psalm 29 in the midst of a thunderstorm, with all the lightning and the rain around him. It seems that the 8th psalm came about through meditation on a moonlit night. The 19th psalm upon the occasion of a sunny morning. And so David is being taught by the kingdom of nature. And the outstanding lesson of the storm was a reminder of the power of God's voice. Time and time again, the voice of the Lord is referred to in all its glory, majesty, might, and power. This time, it's not a still small voice, but it is depicted as thunder. The God of glory thundereth. You see, God has a voice through which he speaks to the hearts of men. His message, of course, throughout the Bible, centers upon his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the cross work, a great work of redemption that Jesus came to do. We have no greater message. We have no better message. We have no higher message than this. God's desire is that men turn from sin, that men come to a knowledge of salvation, that they are saved, that they are forgiven, that they are brought home to glory. And thus he speaks. He speaks continually, over and over and over again, once, twice, often. He speaks lovingly. Got to realize that through the scriptures, as God speaks to the human race, that he speaks with loving kindness. He speaks plainly. The message of the gospel is a plain message, clearly to be understood. He speaks longingly, longs after the souls of men. And he comes therefore repeatedly over and over again with longing in his heart to do them good. And he speaks urgently, for we know not how long we have on this earth. We know not what even tomorrow has in store for us. And so the message that God brings is an urgent message. And he's speaking tonight. He's maybe spoken to you already through a line of a hymn. He's spoken to you through the reading of the word. And I pray that he'll speak to you through this very simple gospel message tonight, just where you are sitting. Will you do one thing for us tonight? Will you just listen? Will you even pray in your heart, Lord, speak to me? Don't let these closing minutes pass by without me hearing the voice of God. As we come to these two passages of Scripture, I've just got two points that I want to make as we think about the speaking voice of God. First of all, sometimes he speaks softly, a still, small voice. This is how Elijah the prophet heard God speak. It was calm, it was quiet, it was simple, it was just like a whisper. He saw no similitude He saw no manifestation of the presence of God, God appearing in a theophany, a visible appearance of God in the Old Testament. He heard a strong wind. He observed the terrible effects of the wind, for it rent the mountains and it tore the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. He felt the shock of an earthquake, the ground beneath him, shaking and convulsing and trembling. An awesome experience for anyone to be in the midst of a terrible earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. He observed an eruption of fire, whatever way that fire was manifested before him, but the Lord was not in the fire. It was not until he heard a still, small voice that he realized that God had spoken to him. God did not speak out of the wind. He did not speak out of the earthquake, nor did he speak out of the fire. No doubt these sights and experiences struck the prophet with fear and awe, but God chose to make himself known to the prophet in soft whispers. When Elijah heard this still small voice, look at what we read in verse 13. He wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. The wind, the earthquake, and the fire did not make him cover his face, but the still small voice did. And it's better to be affected by the still small voice, by the tender mercies of God, if you like, than his terror. Some people are looking today for sensationalism, aren't they? If God would only do this or that or the other, well, then I would believe him. And they're desiring a miracle to be done. Or they want shivers running up and down their spine. They want someone to be raised from the dead. They want lightning storms and strange phenomena to appear before them. They want some great healing miracle. But God is pleased to speak far more often in the stillness and the quietness of men's hearts. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And how does he do this? He does this in a number of ways. He does it, obviously, through the Bible. You take the Word of God and you read it sincerely and conscientiously, God will speak to you. That's how Martin Luther, the great reformer, was converted. We know that the conversion time was in the city of Rome as he was doing a penance on his hands and knees. But what was it that came to his mind? It was God's truth that Martin Luther had been studying and reading for himself, albeit in the Latin language, the just shall live by faith. And it was that truth that he had read and pondered over in God's word that spoke to him. And God can speak to you the same way. You take your Bible, you read it, and God will speak. Sometimes it's through a tract. God bless those that still give out gospel tracts to their neighbors or to the people walking by in the streets and down in the open air when we have it, the giving out of gospel literature. I think I'm right in saying that Sam Houston, many of you will know Sam the singer, he was converted through a tract that was put into his hand. And oftentimes, in a very simple way, God uses this and blesses it. Maybe it's through the witness of a loved one, a friend, or a neighbor, and just simply and quietly, somebody shares the gospel with another. And through that witness, another is brought to Christ. Sometimes it's by a strong impression in the heart and in the conscience. You could be anywhere, at work, sitting in the car, at home, and the word of the Lord comes to your mind, and there is this strong impression, this inner working of God in your heart, and it speaks to you. Sometimes it's the gentle wooing of the Spirit as the Spirit in your heart works. Sometimes it's the testimony of a child coming home from Sunday school or a children's meeting, and they bring the word of the Lord home with them that they have learned, and they share it with their parents. And through that very simple childish witness, parents are brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. At other times, it's a gospel text. Maybe it's somewhere there, positioned in your home, or when you're driving out in the countryside, and there's a text in a tree or in some prominent place, and as you drive by or in your home, you read that text, God smites you. And through that very simple application of the written word before you, God brings you to a knowledge of the Savior. And then, of course, through the preaching of God's word. What we do here on the Lord's Day, every week. What we do in the open air on a Saturday. What we do in our gospel missions that are conducted. And preeminently, God uses the preaching of his word to save those that believe. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? How that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Very sadly, often men turn away from the preaching of the word. These are the still small voices. These are the gentle persuasions of God. These are the quiet reminders. And God uses these voices to speak. It's the still small voice. Sometimes he speaks softly. But the other point is what we read in the Psalm 29. Sometimes he speaks loudly. It's like thunder. It's the trumpet blast. And it awakens, makes you sit up, pay attention. Sometimes wonder what it will take for some sinners to be saved. They turn away from the soft, still, small voice of God. They don't heed the witness that's given to them, the preaching of the word, the tract that is handed into their hand, the simple witness of a child, all these things that I've mentioned, they refuse to listen. What will it take to waken them up and make them pay attention to what God is saying to their heart? When sinners heed not the gentle voice of God, very often God resorts to a loud call. When God speaks like this, it makes the highest humble and the proudest tremble. It catches the attention. It makes us sit up. And you'll note the psalm that we read this evening, and you want to underline the words, thunderous, many waters, powerful, majesty. And note what his voice does. It breaketh. You just notice the verbs here. Breaketh, maketh, divideth, shaketh. When the voice of God is heard, it lives in the hearts of men. Wakens them up. It's like thunder. It's a very awakening experience. So awful is the sound of thunder, and so bright the flash which accompanies it. To the seeing and hearing, nothing is more arresting and awakening. People hide in such storms. You ever been in a storm, a real thunderstorm, lightning storm? We don't often get it in this country, but we've had it from time to time. I can remember as a child when the thunder came, I had sisters and they used to hide. They used to hide in the cubbyhole. You know what a cubbyhole is? Do you have one in your home? And that's where they used to go, just to get away from the noise and from the flashing light. I can remember one time being in Spain in the apartment of the Reverend and Mrs. Hannah, and there was a terrible thunderstorm. We were able to stand at the window and watch what was happening over the city of Madrid. A number of years ago, right here in our own town, there was a terrible thunderstorm that lasted. Some of you remember it. It lasted for hours and hours. The flashes of the lightning, and then the roll of the thunder. And men feared when they heard such things. And such is the voice of God. It was a loud voice that spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden when Adam fell into sin, wandered away from God, and God came in the evening and he called out, "Where art thou, Adam?" I assume in my mind that that was a loud call, a challenging call. It struck fear into his heart. It was such a voice that led Saul of Tarsus low on the road to Damascus when he was going about his business of persecuting the people of God. with the intent of arresting as many Christians, men and women, and children as well, confining them to prison, and ultimately desiring to put them to death. And yet God met him on the road to Damascus. And in the account of his conversion story in Acts chapter 9, we read these words, verses 3 and 4. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, sometimes God works suddenly, steps into a person's life. There shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You can't read a verse like that or these two verses without thinking, here's the thunder call. Here's the voice of the Lord laying this man low, bringing him to his knees to realize his great need of God's salvation. Think of Manasseh. He's probably the worst of the worst that you will read about in all the scriptures. King Manasseh and all that he did by way of sin, turning away from God, introducing the land again to false worship and idolatry, offering his children as sacrifices to the false gods. Oh, this man sunk so low into sin. What did God do? God raised up enemies, Assyrian kings, against him. And he was carried off into Babylon. And it's there in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his affliction, that he turned his eyes to the Lord and he recognized who the true God of Israel was. He was laid low by the thundering call of God. What about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon? Was he not laid low in a similar fashion when he went out of his mind, when he was reduced to living with the beasts of the field, eating grass like an ox? His fingernails grew like the claws of a bird. His hair grew like the beasts of the field, like the eagles. And Nebuchadnezzar was brought down low. But then, in the midst of it all, he turned his eyes to the Lord and he recognized who the true God was. Think of Jonah, the runaway prophet. God raised a storm in his life. It was a thunder call when the storm came in the boat in which he traveled and he was thrown overboard and the great fish swallowed him. We think of Peter and that few short moments in the sea, sinking in the midst of the waters, crying out, Lord, save me. All these things were the loud calls, the thunder calls, if you like. What are these loud calls? Voices. When sinners fail to heed the simple, plain message of the Bible, sometimes God lays them low. When they listen not to the witness of a caring friend, and the preaching, sometimes God confronts them with some situation that awakens them, makes them think. Sinners do not think about spiritual matters automatically. They do not think about eternity willingly. Consideration isn't readily given to the subjects of sin and death and judgment and standing before God, heaven and hell, eternal separation, and the lake of fire. So God providentially brings about certain circumstances designed to bring sinners to their senses and cause them to ponder the things of God and their immortal souls. That might be sickness and injury. The mortal body is struck with disease and or terrible wounds. All you need to do is to take a walk through the hospitals and you see people that are really sick. Sometimes this is used of God to make people sit up and take stock, and especially sinners to realize their mortality. We're not here forever. Sometimes it's debt. Bit by bit, our earthly possessions are removed, our comforts are taken away. We cannot meet our bills. We're sliding further into debt. If this happened, I would possibly ask, is God speaking to me through this? Might be danger, falling into the water, maybe a near-drowning accident. God speaks. And we think of other accidents and calamities, near-death experiences. How many young people have been in a car accident? How many have been involved in a work accident? How many, maybe even in a shipping collision? I know of those who have been. And it has spoken. And sometimes God speaks through tragedy and death. Each time a soul is taken from our town, God is speaking. Every time a loved one is removed and we stand around their open grave, God is speaking. The graveyards, the tombstones, the funeral processions, the vacant chairs, the aching hearts, the obituary columns, all preach a sermon. And what is the sermon? You're not here forever. You're going to die. You're going to go the way of all flesh. You must leave this life. Sometimes it's even a child in a tender age. Always remember the young boy from Lockall. Whenever the Reverend Gray was the minister there, or the student minister there, Philip Kelvin. We were conducting a gospel mission at that time, and the little boy, just 8 years of age, was out playing with his friends. In the fullness of health and strength, and very sadly, a wall fell upon him. And the other children ran to get his mother. When his mother came to the scene, she knew that the life was gone. She picked up her little 8-year-old boy in her arms, carried him home. I can remember the funeral service. We took part in that service. What a sad time it was. I tell you this, God was speaking with one of the loudest voices that I've ever witnessed to that family and to that community in the village of Lockall at that time. It was a little lamb that was taken to speak to the stubborn sheep. When we think of times we've had gospel missions, and in the midst of the mission, or maybe shortly after the mission, there's been death. Death, sudden death has come to the community. People that didn't listen at the mission, they have to sit up now and they have to pay attention. God still speaks loudly. Sometimes the warning is unheeded and men turn away, even from God's thundering calls. What a foolish thing to do. Sometimes it's not recognized. People are not discerning that God is speaking in such ways. We think of the ministry of Christ and what we're told in the Gospel of John and the chapter 12, verses 29 and 28 and 29. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel speak to him. They weren't really discerning what was happening. Here's this voice from heaven. What is it? Oh, it's just maybe a little sound of the thunder. Or maybe someone's talking to him. Maybe an angel is talking to Jesus. But they weren't realizing that God was speaking to them. What about you, my friend? What will it take to really make you sit up and pay attention? God wants to speak to you through the still, small voice. When you don't heed it, you don't listen to it. Sometimes it's a thunder call. What will it take? May you come to Christ. May you realize God's love for you. May you realize that God is speaking to you. Even right now in this meeting, he's speaking. And may you yield yourself to him. Let's pray. Lord, we are glad that you didn't abandon this world and forsake man when man sinned against you. We're glad that you intervened, and the great way wherein you intervened was to speak in mercy. You called out to Adam, and you've been calling ever since. And Lord, you're calling tonight in this meeting. Thank thee for all those still small voices that we've heard, reading your word, coming to church and listening to the gospel preached. the tract that was handed into our hands, the witness of a friend or family member who has spoken to us the gospel, a little child coming home and reporting what they've heard at Sunday school to their parents. And Lord, there have been those times when, because we've failed to listen to the still small voice, you've spoken more loudly. The God of glory thundereth. Lord, make us sit up and listen, and help us to hear what God is saying. For any that are in this meeting tonight without the Lord or listening in, speak to them now. May they hear your voice. May they respond to that voice and come to Jesus Christ that they might be saved. We pray this in his name. Amen. 229 tells us that Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, that's the theme of the chorus. He's calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Will you listen? Pay attention. Heed his word.
Presence at the close of our service tonight in thanksgiving for your word. And God is speaking. And we just pray for that discernment of heart, to know that God is speaking to hearts. And Lord, may there be that response, coming to Christ, receiving him as Savior. Lord, may they not turn away from your voice tonight, but may they listen. Speak on even while this preacher's voice is silent, because it is the voice of God that we want to hear. Dismiss us now in your fear and love, and be with us for the remainder of this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're here to help, as you know, and if we can help you, come and speak with us after the service. Thank you.